Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest and You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
Hi, I'm Laura Kanoy, host of The Exchange. Now, when you make the step from becoming a passive listener to an active supporter of NHPR, you're helping to pay for a vital statewide resource, and that's The Exchange. Every day, this unique New Hampshire-based program brings you the conversation about the issues that matter most to all of us here in the Granite State. But, as you know, it's not free to produce these shows, and we sure hope that you agree they're worth paying for. So give online right now at nhpr.org, or easy, just follow the link right there in the show notes. And thanks. This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Laura Kanoy. It's our Race for the First series. Each week, we've been sitting down with one of the many candidates running in New Hampshire's first congressional district. And let's include you in these conversations. Send us your questions. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. You can also watch our interview on Facebook Live. And our candidate today is Republican Eddie Edwards. He's the former police chief in Southampton, former chief of the New Hampshire State Division of Liquor Enforcement. And Mr. Edwards, welcome. Thanks for coming on The Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Well,
I appreciate it.
First off, the basic question, why should First District voters choose you? Give us that basic sort of, we've got 30 seconds pitch.
Oh, certainly. I understand service. I've worked in the private sector as well as the public sector, and I refuse to believe that Washington can't be fixed. I think we have to fix the people we send there. We have to send men and women of character to Washington. I've served, as you mentioned, in the United States Navy. I've served as a police officer, and I have over 30 years of service to the state of New Hampshire, and I want to continue that community service in Washington. I believe I can bring a solution that will reward citizens of this country, restoring their power.
Well, and we'll talk about some of the ways that you've served the country and the state, and police chief, as I mentioned, and the head of liquor enforcement for the state. But what have you been doing, Mr. Edwards, since you left the public sector a couple years ago?
When I left the public sector, I started my own business, helping small businesses in New Hampshire push back against regulations, fight and stand up for themselves here locally. I also served briefly as director of community relations for Congressman Frank Genta.
Oh, okay. So what types of businesses, sort of helping them navigate the public sector from
right,
that?
Right, right. Helping them navigate regulations. And I've served as an expert witness, mostly in alcohol beverage industry, some in the law enforcement industry. And so I've taken my talents there to actually be a sounding board and a place of information for small business owners.
I want to ask you a couple questions, Mr. Edwards, about your background in law enforcement. And in your campaign materials, you're really upfront about your family, about domestic violence. Your father abused your mom. That's one of the first things you talk about in your campaign video. So you're not hiding anything there. And you say that when the police came, and I'm quoting your video now, those lights, those sirens meant a place of safety for me. You knew the police were going to come and help your mom out.
Absolutely.
It's very moving. But as you know, Mr. Edwards, many African Americans say they feel otherwise. They feel they are targeted by police. So how do you square your experience with their experience?
Well, I think they're twofold. When I talk about my mother being abused by my father, the police arriving at that door, that was a safe place for my mother. It's a safe place for my brothers and sisters and I. And I think what I've learned as I've gone through life and became a police chief myself and led men and women in law enforcement, I think there's a lot of misdirection in our society. There are those forces that would have you believe that police departments are full of racist and sexist and bigoted people. I don't believe that to be true at all. I've served with a lot of men and women in law enforcement. I've traveled the United States and I've gone to 23 different states training law enforcement officers. These are some of the best citizens that we have. They've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of this country and their states. And I think when you see these men and women carrying out a job that very few people are capable of doing, let's keep that in mind too. It's a very difficult task to stop a car by yourself at night, see three or four people moving around. You want to go home at night too, and you're there to protect their rights, but you're also there to do a job. And I think oftentimes the media, and I don't want to blame just the media, but also community folks, we take advantage of those moments. There's interactions with police officers and citizens every single day in minority communities, and they're not reported on. We take an incident that occurs, and we try to extrapolate that to mean that all police officers perform this way. There have certainly been police officers who have abused their authority. There's no question about that. But the vast majority of men and women who perform that job on a daily basis are there to actually serve in those communities. And they take it with a great degree of pride.
You said that you've been to 23 states, working with police officers in those states. What do you think the solution is, Mr. Edwards, to sort of overcoming this gap, whether it's reality or perception? People are having some bad feelings about the interactions between minority groups and law enforcement. So what do you think it's going to take to close that gap? Protests right now in Pittsburgh and so forth.
Right. I think if you begin to demonize one group of Americans over another, keep in mind that these are police officers who are coming from your communities. This is Johnny. This is Susan, who have grown up and said, I want to serve in my community. And I'm asked to do something that very few people are capable of doing. I'm asked to meet people sometimes in their worst moments. And when you are enforcing the law in any community, people aren't going to necessarily be happy with you. But I think we have to do a better job of highlighting those moments, which are the more frequent moments where police officers in exchange in these communities are great exchanges every single day. But
positive exchanges instead of just highlighting the negative.
Absolutely. And people, there's a motivation, right? We have people in our country who have an entire industry made up of trying to find that conflict, trying to find that discourse. And so this is how they make their living. And I understand that. And people understand that people are focused on dividing our communities. And we use police officers as a wedge. Right now, you have a group of people who are claiming that police officers are dishonest people or they're out to abuse only minority communities. I've never met a police officer who woke up, put on his or her uniform and went and posted a job and said, I'm going out today and I'm going to shoot or hurt a minority person. That doesn't happen.
Well, and I want to talk more about your campaign.
Sure.
You and I could talk about this for probably another 30 minutes.
Right.
When you say there's an entire industry created to or that's aimed at creating divides, who is that entire industry? What do you mean by that?
Well, for me, I have to be honest. When I look at liberal policies, I look at those in a historical view, lens, and I look at those in a modern-day lens. And I do realize that, for instance, there was more growth and opportunities when we had less policies controlling communities. And I look at President LBJ's policies, the Great Society movement, that did more to harm black communities, poor white communities than anything else. I look at President Bill Clinton's approach to the black community. Over 200,000 more black men and women went to prison under President Bill Clinton's policies than under Ronald Reagan's policies. And today, we have more black men in prison than were enslaved in 1850. So I think when I look at folks who are making their living from dividing us, it is an interest in keeping blacks and whites fighting each other. If you have a victimization policy, you have to find a villain. And that villain is often found in conflict between one another.
We're sitting down with Republican Eddie Edwards. He is a candidate for the 1st Congressional District. It's NHPR's Race for the 1st series here in The Exchange. Each week, we're introducing you very briefly to one of the many candidates running for Congress this year. Today, it's Eddie Edwards, and we'd love to hear from you, 1-800-892-6477. So many things we could talk about.
Yep.
Let's move on to another issue that's been big in this campaign, Mr. Edwards, and that's guns, what Democrats are calling gun safety. Several questions. First of all, how do you think federal gun policies, federal gun laws should change, if at all? Maybe we keep it the way it is.
Well, I certainly don't think, as an advocate for Congressional District 1, I am not interested in going to Washington to advocate for federal legislation to interfere with New Hampshire's rights. Currently, New Hampshire, we're one of the safest states in the country, and we have very reasonable gun laws in our state. So I am not in favor of a federal law being advocated for to take away the responsibility and rights of New Hampshire citizens. And so I would never be in favor of extending or expanding federal government gun laws.
So keep the federal laws the way that they are. And I'm asking you for a
federal Yes.
Or reduce them. Okay.
Right, right.
Tell me more about that.
Because what's happening in other parts of the country is horrifying. And none of us want to see young people harmed or anyone else harmed. But I think because we do it differently here in New Hampshire. We have safe communities here in New Hampshire. We have responsibility built in our laws in New Hampshire. And I think to have folks running for office who want to represent New Hampshire's values, then you can't take New Hampshire's values to Washington and have Washington send back to New Hampshire something that's inconsistent with New Hampshire values. And so for me, I think the more that we can get federal government out of the lives of individual people and place that burden back into the states where it belongs, I think the better control citizens will have over their life, the better control they will have over their elected officials, and their quality of life will improve.
One of the gun restrictions, if you want to call it that, that Democrats are definitely talking about, but some Republicans, too, I've heard talk about, is better background checks, universal background checks, making sure that someone who intends to harm others or themselves has less easy access to a gun. I wonder what you think about that, Mr. Edwards.
Well, I think we're performing background checks now. And keep in mind, the systems that have been in place, it's like some of the horrible incidents and tragedies we've seen in other parts of the country, there are a lot of things missed along the way. But we have a system in place, but a lot of things fail to be engaged.
We're just not doing a good enough job enforcing current policies
or
laws?
The current policies and laws, we should try to enforce those first before we begin to intrude more into people's lives. And I think you see that often when a government policy fails, because there's no accountability in government, right? We like to believe that if we have commissions and committees, then we'll get better solutions. But in commissions and committees, there is no accountability. And so for me, holding people accountable is the best solution to address any of these problems, not more government. And when government fails, we ask for more of it. We just didn't do enough. We just didn't spend enough.
Yeah. So you said commissions and committees and sort of questioning. So it's perfect opening. You know where I'm going with this, to ask you about your work on the Liquor Commission.
Oh, sure.
You worked for 8 years as Director of Enforcement and Licensing for the New Hampshire Liquor
Yes.
Commission. As you know now, Mr. Edwards, the AG's office is looking into disputes over high-volume cash sales. The commission's been accused of being complicit in potentially illegal all-cash sales to so-called bootleggers. NHPR has done a lot of coverage of this. What's your view, given your background, of this recent controversy?
Well, you know, what I would tell people to do, if you go back and you look at my tenure on the commission, you'll see that these are the things I pointed out many years ago, and they were ignored. That's no longer my responsibility and my role now that we have a very capable attorney general who's looking into these matters now. And I'll wait, like most citizens, to see this outcome. But I would encourage citizens and those voters to actually go back and examine my record when I was there and the things I tried to bring forward.
So you're kind of feeling like I told you so?
Absolutely. I think when this is why I go back to character. You have to be able to trust the men and women who work in your government. And if you can't trust those folks, then they should be replaced. It's no more complicated than that. When you have dishonest people working in your government, they should be replaced. And when these matters are brought forward, they should be taken seriously. But again, when systems and structures are put in place, you build constituencies around those systems. And there's a need to protect those systems and those structures. So I've been very clear about this from the very beginning. I've been on the record, probably more so than any other chief prior to my tenure and after my tenure about these type of problems.
Well, and you say in your website that you've been very involved in working to reduce substance abuse, as is so many people in the state. Given that focus, Mr. Edwards, how do you feel about the fact that the sale of one of those substances that is abused a lot, liquor, also accounts for substantial amounts of state revenue? So is this arrangement problematic?
Well, I think any time that we're building our funding our government off something that could potentially produce addiction, we have to carefully examine that. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be allowed to sell alcoholic beverages in the state.
You're not saying throw the whole system out.
Oh, no. I think we have to look at how it's done. I think there are very reasonable owners of alcoholic beverage establishments do a great job. I think people question the motivation of government when government aggressively is in the commercial space, and there's no accountability for government in that commercial space.
Getting back to what you talked about
earlier. And I think that's the troubling part for most people. I think most people do not have a problem with folks actually serving or selling.
I want to ask you about immigration, because that has been so much in the news this week, last week, over the weekend. On your website, Mr. Edwards, you say we must, quote, protect our borders, fully vet new immigrants to the U.S., and make our legal immigration system more efficient and secure. Given that you've said that, how do you view this recent uproar over separating kids from their parents at the U.S.-Mexican border? This has just been enormous news.
Well, I view it, first of all, I have two children, and I understand.
Two daughters,
26 and 27. So they're young ladies now. But I understand being separated from your children and the kind of pain the parents would experience from there. But I also understand having a law. We're a nation of laws, and so our laws must be enforced. This goes back to your earlier question about government we were talking about before. Laws have to be enforced, and they have to be enforced equally across the board. And without a border, we do not have an immigration policy to begin with, right? So we have to establish what does that immigration policy look like, making sure that people who are coming here are coming here in a sense of way to add to the value of our country. They want to be here. All those things are very important. But it goes back to the point I made earlier. There are forces in our country who are absolutely intent on dividing us. And this is an issue that divides us. Every single American should be proud of their immigrant heritage. They should be proud of our nation. But it shouldn't turn into a place where we're demonizing one another because we want to enforce the laws of our country. Those laws are the same laws that have been used to ensure freedom. For instance, the Bill of Rights were used to ensure freedom for all people in this country. And it was the conservatives of our country that demanded citizenship under the 14th Amendment. Citizenship was provided by conservatives of this country.
Well, I could ask you 16 more questions about immigration as well, but I did want to give you an opportunity, Mr. Edwards, as we close out, and I've tried to ask everybody in this series this. So lots of people running on the Democratic side, several people running on the Republican side, too, in this primary. What is your case to First District Republicans now, again, focusing on the primary for the moment, that you are the one Republicans should pick over the other Republicans in this race?
Sure, I appreciate that opportunity. I started my campaign a year ago. April of 2017. I have campaigned in all 80 cities and towns in our district. The only candidate to do so. I'm the only candidate that has done town hall meetings, inviting people in from the community to hear me, ask me questions, and challenge me. I asked people to examine my background over a year ago so that we could change the way we elect our representatives. I think, as I said back in April, this campaign will come down to character. Character has to be part of how we select our representatives. Our founders talked about public virtue often. That has to be a part of the equation. I have spent my life in service. I understand what it means to train someone to take your spot. In the United States Navy, one of my tasks was training someone to take over if I should fall. Same thing in law enforcement, training people to take over and giving up power.
All right. I have to jump it under there. I do apologize. Thank you very much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it.
That's Eddie Edwards. Again, he's a Republican from the Seacoast running in the GOP primary for the 1st Congressional District. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.